Writer-director Kevin Smith, he had a pretty good year. He started filming a new movie. He was tapped to write a Heroes prequel. His podcast called Smodcast was named by iTunes as one of the top five of the year. And the man managed to turn a collection of mundane and sometimes profane diary entries into a New York Times bestseller. We spoke to Kevin Smith about his oddly entertaining book, though aptly titled My Boring Ass Life, The Uncomfortably Candid Diary of Kevin Smith. You know, I went to your MySpace page and you have this post that's really, really sweet is the word I'm going to use. It says, apparently I'm a New York Times bestselling author. This is a really big deal for me. So first of all, congrats. And are you serious? Is this a really a big deal for you considering all you've done?
Yeah, because I just didn't expect the book to wind up there. I mean, I've never written a book, right? Like basically I've got two books. And they're both examples of found material, compiled material. Like the old one, Silent Bob Speaks, was a compilation of a bunch of magazine articles I'd written, essays that I'd written, and some web journalism that I'd done. And then this one, the one that's out now, My Boring Ass Life, was a compilation of like almost 2 years worth of blog postings that I'd done. So those are barely books. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't really count.
Barely a book, buddy. This thing is over 400 pages. What are you trying to sell me? Barely a book?
Yeah, it looks like a book, that's for sure. It feels like one, and it'll definitely hold up the end of a table like a book will. But it doesn't. I don't know. It's calling it a book takes away from people like Franzen or Michael Chabon or J.D. Salinger, dudes who actually write books. Like this is. This was me writing a blog for a while, and then Titan, the company that published it, called me up and said, we'd like to turn it into a book. And I said, do I have to do anything? They said, no, you've already done it. And I said, go with God.
That works for me.
As an author. But the fact that it wound up on the list, and granted, it's the story of my life, right? Like, it'd be one thing if I wound up, like, in the top 10. I'm at number 32 on that list. But that's just enough for me to be proud of.
Yeah, there's some guy at 33 and 34, so 32 is okay.
And those people are like, he didn't even write a book. This didn't count.
Just to give people a vibe of what the book's like, on page 247, it says, Tuesday, 30 August 2005, 3:03 p.m. I wake up, hit the bathroom with my Tetris, and then head to the bedroom office, doing 3 hours of phoners for Mallrats 10. Afterwards, I pick up Harley from camp with Hans in tow. We head to the Coffee Bean on Beverly, followed by a trip to Laser Blazer, where I somehow spend $850 on 2 weeks' worth of DVDs. I come home and chill with Jen for a while, then check email, watching the new Jack City DVD. After Jen puts Harley to bed, we watch Witness and play Rummy. After Witness, we pop in the Truman Show, and I fall asleep 10 minutes before it ends.
You just prevented me from selling another copy of that book. People are like, that sounds like crap. It's boring.
Well, you do put boring in the title, so it's not false advertising.
Yeah,
I didn't bury
the lead at all, man. I'm kind of upfront and forthright with what the book's about. There's a lot of that. Like, when I started writing the blog, it was kind of a daily diary of sorts, because somebody online at one of our websites, at the message board at viewaskew.com, had asked what I did all day, and I thought that was kind of an interesting question, so I was like, I'm going to write down everything that I've done today, and I posted it, and the cats at the website really seemed to dig it, so I started keeping it up, as a regular thing, as a regular feature, and then I moved it over to its own, standalone blog site, and I was kind of into the notion at first, because I was like, I think I would enjoy reading this 10 or 20 years down the line, or being able to hand it over to my kid and being like, this is what I did when you were like 6 or 7 or 8 years old. Look at how I wasted my youth.
Let's just talk about that when you hand this over to your kid, Harley. So 20 years from now, she'll be 28, 29. Is that a good age that she should read about this? Because let's just say you and your wife love each other.
Yeah.
And we all know that from reading this book, that you love each other often.
Yeah, pretty frequently.
And a lot.
Which, I mean, God bless her, because who would really want to love me on a regular basis? That regularly, that physically, with clothes off. I'm happy to have her read it whenever. I don't know. If I was like 13, 14, and my father had done something like this, I would have loved to have read it. I would have loved to have known, what my father thought about and how frequently he coupled with my mother and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure she won't appreciate it as much as she will, when she's, in her 20s and I'm dead. But I wouldn't be against her. It'd be kind of hypocritical for me to be like, don't read this until you're 30.
Nothing's sacred in what you write. I mean, it's really interesting. You talk about, personal issues. You talk about something really kind of tough, too, the struggle of your friend's heroin addiction.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. That's the only part of the whole book that I feel is kind of book-like or book-worthy is I did a 9-part series entitled Me and My Shadow, which was about Jason Mewes, the guy who plays Jade in My Silent Bob, and his kind of the throes of drug addiction that he went through for the over the course of 7 years. And it's kind of some of the best writing I've ever done, but it's also like a really gripping story, and it has a happy ending, but it's warts and all, you know, and it's kind of the story he would have written if he could write, but I can, so he was happy to see me do it.
So as I'm dissecting the title of your book, we've been through the candid part. That's about Jason. We've been through the boring-ass part, as I read on page 247. But let's talk about the uncomfortably candid.
Mm-hmm.
For whom?
I guess it's for the reader. Like, originally, Titan wanted to call it unedited Diary of Kevin Smith, but they actually had to edit it because they're a British company, right? And I guess you can't published names, their libel lawsuits are a lot tougher over there than here. So they didn't want to put some of the names, like the story that kind of kicks off the Me and My Shadow blog series was a story that Muse had told me about having sex in a bathroom with and you can kind of say that over
well,
here.
Hey there.
Exactly. And you can kind of say it over here, but over there, unless you can prove it, I guess it's a lot more difficult. So I said, please don't call it unedited because we can't put her name in. You're not putting her name in the book. Just let's find something else. And we both kind of settled on uncomfortably candid because it is the kind of thing. Some of the entries you read and it's just like, dude, that's way too much information than I wanted to know.
Something else that I'm interested in is after you read this book, all these blog entries all at once, did you change anything about your life?
I didn't. In fact, when they sent me the galleys of the book, I didn't even bother reading it because it was too fresh. Like, you know, it was only, I think it runs from 2005 to 2006. They didn't print any of the 2007 stuff, if I remember correctly. But I just felt like, well, I just lived this stuff fairly recently, so I don't want to reread it again. You know, I just had to spell check it to make sure. I'm pretty much a spelling Nazi and a grammar Nazi, but I just had them double check that stuff to make sure that it was accurate. But I didn't bother reading the whole thing again. I'm not looking forward to reading this book for another 10 years because then I think I'll really enjoy it.
We're listening back to a conversation I had in October with writer and director Kevin Smith, best known for Clerks, Mallrats, Dogma. And when we spoke, he was working on a project for television for the CW network. You directed this pilot for the show Reaper, where this kid's parents sell his soul to the devil.
Do I have to go to hell now?
No. Not now. You're just going to bring escaped souls back to hell. That's cool, right?
It's a great premise.
Yeah, it was a very cool premise.
How did you approach this differently from your film work, or just do the same principles of storytelling apply?
You know, interestingly enough, I mean, the same principles of storytelling apply, but for some reason, since I didn't originate the material, you know, since it wasn't mine, like I was directing somebody else's script for the first time, I put way more care into the visual look of the pilot than I have into the visual look of any of the movies I've ever done. It was as if like I had to kind of justify why I was there in the first place, because on my movies, I can justify being the director because, like, I wrote it. But on the pilot, like, I couldn't justify why they would hire me. You know, and they paid me well, and I was just like, man, I should really try. So it's odd. Like, halfway through it, I was working with my DP, this guy Dave Klein, who I've shot 4 of my movies with before, and I was like, is it me, or does this look better than anything we've ever shot before? He's like, yeah, it feels like we're trying a lot harder on this, which was weird because it was a show for CW. But
The CW, excuse me.
What's that?
Come on, isn't it the CW?
Yeah, I left the article out. It's the CW.
But
it turned out pretty well.
Another posting I found called you the Geek Revolution in the Flesh. It was excitingly announcing that you were going to write and direct an episode of Heroes Origins, the spinoff series. First of all, how do you feel about that description?
You know, I'll take it. I'll take any description as long as they're not like hack and sellout. I get that a lot on the web too. People are like, he's a hack, and you know, I've stopped trying to correct that, you know, because I used to spend a lot of time going out there, and somebody called me a hack, I'd be like, look, technically, in terms of film jargon, I'm not a hack. A hack is somebody who just takes money just to simply do a job. Like, if I did Mighty Ducks 9, then I'm a hack. But considering that I write and direct my own stuff, I'm obviously not in it just for the money, although I do like getting paid. But, like, I'm kind of committed to the material more than most. Technically, I'm an auteur, but please don't even call me that. And then after a while, I got tired of kind of defending that. So if they call me the Geek Revolution in the flesh, it's a lot better than, you know, that hack fat ass Clerks guy.
All right, you've got the movie thing going, you've got the TV thing going, you fill in on Ebert and Roper on the movies, you're on the Tonight Show on the couch. Is there anything you'd like to do that somebody just hasn't asked you to do yet?
Voice on The Simpsons.
Ooh.
I would really love to do a voice on The Simpsons. That, but I'm afraid to do it because I think then I will die. Because, you know, that where's the...
Because you're happy, you'll be happy and you'll die.
Yeah, it's like, what's left after that? There's really, I mean, honestly, I've had a really charmed and wonderful life, and as much as, you know, I've done far more than I ever thought was possible for anybody, let alone for me. So every day something happens where you're like, I can't believe it. I've still maintained that. Did you ever see that movie Angel Heart?
Yes.
Long time ago, Mickey Rourke.
Oh, that's scary.
Scary movie because, you know, aside from, like, Robert De Niro being super creepy as Lucifer, what's really terrifying is the premise of selling one's soul and not knowing about it until it's too late. Because part of the bargain is that you don't remember selling your soul. And, you know, raised Catholic, that always terrified me. And every once in a while, you know, for the last 14 years, however long I've been doing the film thing, I get that sick notion that, like, maybe I sold my soul to the devil and part of the deal was I not remember, because it's just so weird, all the good things that kind of happened to me, even the bad things. Like, even something like Jersey Girl comes along and doesn't do very well and stuff like that. But
I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to. but even that, it's like, how many people can say they ever made a film that flopped, you know? It's like, it's a weird life, and I just get worried that, you know, all the good things have happened because there's a dude waiting on the other end to collect my soul in the bargain.
That was Kevin Smith.